This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In 2008, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper said that Canada had the only banks in the Western world that were not looking at bailouts. And that has been the refrain over the last 4 years. However, a new report by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives suggests that this is a public relations fiction. Canadian banks were bailed out. In fact, they received billions in assistance. David McDonald is a senior economist with the CCPA and author of the report, The Big Bank's Big Secret, and he's joined me by phone from Ottawa. Hello, David.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how much did the banks receive?
Well, so the banks during the financial crisis were drawing on three different programs. They were drawing on one American program and two Canadian programs. Now, the American program was from the U.S. Federal Reserve, and this data was only made available in November of last year, so it's very recent that we actually know about that. And at peak, the big five Canadian banks drew about $33 billion from the U.S. Federal Reserve, and in the U.S. they called this program a bailout program. In Canada, we had an almost identical program being run out of the Bank of Canada, which was also a loan program. Now, in Canada, we called it a backstop program instead of a bailout program, which is what they called the similar thing in the U.S. And the Bank of Canada peak borrowing was about $41 billion. And then there was a third program that the banks were drawing on. This is all happening at the same time. And the third program was at CMHC. And there, CMHC was purchasing mortgages from them. And so when all was said and done at CMHC, CMHC had managed to purchase $69 billion worth of mortgages in mortgage-backed securities from Canada's big banks. So, you know, if you add it all up, and they peak at different times and so on, but if you add it all up, the neediest that Canadian banks were was $114 billion. That was the support that they were drawing at that time. Now, I should say that these programs were in and of themselves not particularly secret, although this is the first time that I think the numbers have all been put together to get a global picture of what the banks were doing. So, you know, it was well known to academics, for instance, these programs were going on. What's interesting in my paper is that while we knew these programs were going on, we just didn't know who was on the other side of them. So we knew that the Bank of Canada loaned out $41 billion. We just didn't know to who. So was it one bank? Was it all the banks? When did they get the money? What did they put up as collateral? We didn't know the answers to any of those questions. And so the paper that I wrote was attempting to estimate what some of those values are.
Now, you say that the CMHC, the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, bought mortgages. So this was, I guess, just money going straight into the banks from the CMHC. What did that mean for the CMHC? Where was that money coming from?
Well, it was coming from the federal government. So the federal government wrote debt or wrote government bonds to raise money. So, you know, you're not going to see this in the government's tables for the budget, for instance. Well, you're not going to see it in the main tables, but in some of the supplementary tables, you can see the net debt of the government goes up $40 or $50 billion as they write bonds, take the money, they send the money to CMHC, and then CMHC uses that money to buy mortgages from the banks.
Why did they do it that way?
Well, there was a variety of programs going on. As I said, there were the two loan programs. This was a mortgage purchase program. And the goal of all of the programs was to flood the banks with cash. So, you know, the federal government has always claimed that this is liquidity support instead of solvency support, which is to say, you know, the banks had assets. They just couldn't convert them to cash because a lot of the private markets they employed had simply locked up. And so, you know, I think it's a pretty blurry line between liquidity support and solvency support. The fact is, if the banks hadn't received this cash, it would have been probably difficult for them to have paid to declare $27 billion worth of profits over the period, and give each one of their CEOs an average of a 20% raise.
Which banks were in the most serious need of being bailed out?
Yeah, so this is actually what the paper was about, was trying to estimate how much each one of the banks individually received, and this is totally new information. I should point out that the U.S. Federal Reserve has made all of its borrowing information public. So if you want to figure out how much CMHC had out in loans from these various programs on Christmas of 2008, you could go look that up. In Canada, though, the Bank of Canada and the CMHC program, those details are secret. So we're not allowed as Canadians to know who took this money, even though, you know, essentially it was the federal government or the Bank of Canada backing this. And so it is possible, because of the amount of money that had gone out the door, to estimate how much individual banks received. Now, they all got, you know, each one of the banks individually got between 20 to 25 billion at peak. What's more interesting, though, is that the banks are very different sizes. They're not all the same size. And so once you adjust for size, it turns out that three of Canada's banks, Scotiabank, Bank of Montreal, and CIBC, at some point during the financial crisis, had received support worth more than the value of all their shares. So it would have been cheaper at certain points during this financial crisis to have purchased every single one of the shares in these three banks rather than provide them with support.
So you got to that piece of information by inference then. That's the piece of information that isn't out there.
That's right. So this information is still secret. And, let me be transparent that these are estimates, and a third of the paper talks about how it was estimated and so on. But the data remains secret. And so I think now, given that these estimates have come out, I think what's interesting is that there's a huge difference between some of the neediest banks and some of the less needy banks in terms of their relative support. So CIBC, for instance, at a point, had received support worth 1.5 times the value of all of the shares in the company. And some of the larger banks, like Royal Bank and TD Bank, needed less than the value of the company. So the best, the best performance was Royal Bank, that only at peak needed about 63% of the value of its company in support. But it's still a large amount. And so I think what's interesting in this study is that some banks needed dramatically more support than others. And so what I think that suggests is that those banks that took more may have been more vulnerable during this financial crisis. Now, you know, this has all resolved itself. The loans have been paid back as of July 2010. CMHC will likely get its money back on the mortgages when they mature by 2014. But I think what's interesting is that in essence, the banks showed us their hand. So the banks that needed more government support took it, and the banks that needed less government support took less. And I think it's incumbent now that this information is out there for us to start to analyze this data. Hopefully, first of all, CMHC and the Bank of Canada need to release this secret information that's public in the U.S. but secret in Canada, so that we can actually determine why some of these banks needed so much more support and see if there's some way that through regulation we can make them less vulnerable to needing this kind of massive support the next time around.
I guess the other interesting thing to me is I don't recall hearing at any point during that process that the CIBC was a vulnerable bank.
Yeah, that's right. And so, while these aggregate, the programs in aggregate, it was clear that they were going on, and CMHC and Bank of Canada were publishing the total figures. You know, it's really in the details where you start to see some concerning trends. And exactly that. I mean, there was no point at which Minister Flaherty stood up in the House of Commons and said, we are providing some liquidity support. It's going to be worth more than the value of all the bank stocks, but there's nothing to see here. I think once Canadians hear that message, they say, this is not connecting with the official line. In fact, it's quite different from the official line. And so I don't think that the programs shouldn't have been run. Clearly, they should have been run. These banks clearly needed support. But I think that now that we're out of the woods on this issue, now it's time to reflect back on what happened. I think we need to get this data out publicly so others can analyze it. And I think that we need to start to come to some conclusions as to how we can make our banking system stronger, as opposed to just burying our heads in the sand because these details are secret.
Now, you mentioned a little earlier that at the same time that the banks were receiving this support, then they were posting profits. How is that possible?
Well, I mean, the problem for the banks is that it wasn't that they didn't have assets, right? They certainly, and this is what happens with all banks in a classic bank run, is they have assets that are that are worth something. So they, you know, they had government bonds, they had mortgages. I mean, these things are worth something. The problem in a financial crisis or a run on the bank is that you can't convert them to cash quickly enough. The private markets lock up. And so in good times, you can use these private markets to securitize your mortgages, or you can use what's called the repo markets, which are a means of providing short-term loans to banks and financial institutions. You know, and you can use these short-term markets, and you don't have to carry as much cash on hand because you can use these markets to get cash if you need it. And so the banks save a little bit of money in good times. The problem is that in bad times, they're much more vulnerable because they're relying on these markets. When the markets lock up, all of a sudden they don't have enough cash on hand. They need to get cash. And the only way to do that is for the Bank of Canada, the U.S. Federal Reserve, and CMHC to step in, become the market, essentially, and that's what happened, so that the banks can continue to get cash and do business. Now, of course, you know, the role of the central bank is to act as the lender of last resort. But those central banks needed to step in this case. They should, at the end of the day, be very interested in not being the lender of last resort. How can we change the system so that they don't have to be relied on as heavily or at all in future financial crises?
A lot's been made in the United States about public money being used for executive compensation and bonuses at certain banks. What was executive compensation like at the Canadian banks during this period in question?
Yeah, well, each one of the bank CEOs of the big five banks are among the best paid in the country. So they're on the top 100 CEOs report that the CCPA puts out every January. And the other thing I think that's interesting is that from 2008 to 2009, remember, this is in the depths of the financial crisis. Banks were failing in the U.S. You know, the U.S. Federal Reserve, the Bank of Canada, and CMHC were throwing billions of dollars at the banks because they were relying too heavily on these private markets that had locked up. And what's interesting is that every single one of the bank CEOs received a raise between 2008 and 2009. Despite the fact that that hundreds of thousands of Canadians lost their jobs, and it wasn't a small raise. It wasn't like it was 2%. The raise in compensation was on average 20%. So you know, a huge raise in a period where they're receiving massive support from the central banks and the taxpayer through CMHC. And you know, what's concerning is that there's just a different standard for banks than there is for the regular working Canadian. For banks, if they need liquidity support, CMHC and the central banks will step in, flood them with cash, so that they continue to declare profits and their CEOs can give themselves raises. In essence, they have a golden safety net. But for the rest of Canadians, only about 40% of Canada's unemployed can access EI, even though they've paid into it. The number used to be 80% in the 90s, in the recession in the early 1990s, but today it's about 40%. So, I think that your listeners would be interested in this very different standard that applies to banks as compared to regular Canadians.
I understand that one commentator said about your report that taxpayer money was never in danger of being lost, and in fact, taxpayers made a tidy profit with the credit assistance program. What's your response to that?
That's absolutely true. It's also true with the loans to the auto companies. The government made money on that. And it's actually true of the U.S. Federal Reserve loans that in the U.S. were called bailout programs. Those loans made money for the U.S. Federal Reserve. And that's what happens. If support is successful, usually the money's paid back. At the end of the day, the bank said, well, we didn't really need that $20 to $25 billion anyway. The government calls it liquidity support instead of a bailout because it was, in essence, successful support. And so I don't think that it's interesting per se that the government made money on it. I think what's more interesting is that some of the banks really showed us their hand in terms of how vulnerable they thought they were and how much money they pulled out of these programs adjusted for their size. And I think that's what's interesting, is that in essence we forced them to show us their hand. The details are secret, obviously, and I've estimated them. But in essence, the banks were forced to show us their hand by drawing heavily, or more heavily on a relative basis, from these programs. And I think if we're to learn anything from this and make our system more sound, we really need access to these details. And I think we need to be more humble about about the soundness of our banking system. It is certainly sound now, but we could improve it. And if we don't look at using this data, making it public, analyzing it, then we can't improve our banking system so that these types of support programs are less necessary in the future.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me this morning, David.
Well, thanks for having me on.
I've been speaking with David McDonald. He's a senior economist with the CCPA, and he's author of the report, The Big Bank's Big Secret. And you can find that report by going to policyalternatives.ca.